The Green Room with Johnstown Garden Centre, home of expert garden advice. JohnstownGardenCentre.ie.
And a very good morning to you and welcome to the Green Room with thanks to Johnstown Garden Centre. And what a great day to get out doing a little bit of gardening and do a little bit of shopping at garden centres as well, and into the bank holiday weekend, where I have a good feeling, Yvonne O'Connor, things are just going to ramp up a little bit.
Oh, gee, Chris, John, they'll ramp up there all right, but the amount of growth that's out there at the moment is phenomenal. So that little bit of heat has made a big, big difference to everything. So, yes, if you didn't get your summer plants out, you can certainly put them out now. And there's plenty of growth. You know, there's a bit of rain forecast, which is grand. It'll water in anything you put out there. But there's a bit of heat coming into the ground now, and you'll notice you'll be chasing the grass now for the next little while.
Yeah, and I think for the weekend that's in it, and of course, well, they're saying that it's hedging your bets time, literally, when it comes to what the weather is going to be like. But I think it's just the fact that June weekend arrives, it means that people are going to start thinking about bedding plants and other stuff. Is it the time to start thinking about that now?
Yeah, it is. You know, it is time to get stuff out now. There's definitely, we're over that cold snap. We're finished. Any damage that was out there is done. The damage is done. You know, I mean, the big things that suffered were things like hydrangeas and things like that for the summer. And I'd say now, you know, fruit or flowering wise, we'll have very few flowers on hydrangeas this year. There's a couple of other things suffered as well, but they're spectacularly affected. And you know, things like lavenders and that, some lavenders got very badly burned as well. So there's some plants out there, depending on what position or what aspect in the garden they were in, some things got damaged more than others. I mean, you might have a little corner where nothing got damaged because it wasn't facing east, it was facing west, it was protected from the morning sun, didn't get too frosted, and you're lucky. But generally speaking, there was a good bit of damage done, new shoots on hedges and all this kind of thing, and people keep ringing me and asking me, is this dead, is this dead, is this dead? And if you just have a little bit of patience and look down the stems of most things, you know, if you've put in a beech hedge and all the new shoots on it got burned, you know, a lot of the time they're going to come on. Now, some plants won't come back if they got very, very severely damaged, but that's definitely the exception and not the rule. Most things were just burned, cut back. You can now cut off the dead bits that were burned. It's safe enough to cut them off now and see where the young shoots on any of these shrubs are coming from, and cut back to the new shoots that are coming on, and you'll be amazed at how quickly they'll recover.
Okay, now Paula was on already and she said, just want to make a comment more so than a question. She says that she's noticed that her first of her hanging baskets are beginning to kind of be vibrant over the last couple of days. Is this as a result of the hot weather?
Yes, yeah, that's it. The bit of heat has made the whole difference. See, all these plants, these summer plants that flower in summer and thrive in warm conditions, do need that bit of heat. Now, I know they get the extra day length, but they need the combination of heat and day length to get them to flower well. And yes, everything is looking very fresh and good. I suppose the way we would have expected it to look maybe 2-3 weeks ago, and we're just that bit behind. So anybody, and I include myself in this, if you sowed, you know, vegetable seeds, I put in French beans, for example, and I put them in just a little bit too early, and that the ground was too cold, they did not germinate, and I've had to over-sow completely. So you'll find that if you put in seeds of some vegetables in particular, probably, they mightn't have germinated very well because the ground was just too cold, and we were kind of counting on it warming up quicker than it did. So you might have, with the cold and the frost and the rain that we got, you know, a lot of seeds might have rotted in the ground, and you might have to overseed. So be aware of that. Keep an eye on any seeds you sowed, and if you see very patchy germination, even things like lettuce, you know, beetroot, any of these kind of things, carrots, If you're patchy germination, you can still overseed in those rows with more seed.
Okay. Now, you know the stuff that used to always stick to your clothes when you were a kid? I think we affectionately known it as sticky backs.
Yeah.
What are they called officially, or do you know?
Sticky backs.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, there you go, sticky backs.
John, I can't go think on. Of them. It begins with an S or an R. No, I can't think of it.
Go
no,
on.
No.
Anyway, Marcella was on.
But do you know something?
Yeah.
You can eat the new shoots of that. You can eat them in a salad. And also, dogs kind of like them.
Oh, yeah. When you eat them in a salad, do they stick to you?
They're quite tasty. No, you eat the young shoots, not the ones that have gone all hairy and sticky and yuck, you know.
Okay,
Marcella. You can eat new nettles as well and make nettle soup.
Marcella's problem with this, that she knows it's kind of a weed but isn't sure the name of it. Oh, well done, Marcella. Neither are we, so don't worry about it. It's long with skinny leaves. Yeah, they are the sticky backs. Can't spray it at the moment because it's over the garden's neighbour's wall, but I'm pulling at it as much as I can. Will it keep on coming back? It's a weed, I presume it will it?
Yeah, no, you should be able to pull that out. There should be no need to spray that. And anyway, sprays don't even work well on it. So you should be well able to pull that out. It's very, very easily pulled. And it grows from seed, so you're not into a root that's going to spread underground and spread everywhere. Each plant is a single plant, and they germinate from seed each year. It's an annual. So you can just pull that out, preferably before the little bally seeds form on it and drop to the ground to grow loads more. So you can just pull it out and put it into your compost heap. It's great in the compost heap. Stick it in there.
Okay. Now off to Rathcoole we go. Maria was on. Thanks, Maria. She said she has a lot of lichen on her hibiscus tree. Wants to know the solution, I presume, or what do I feed it with?
The hibiscus, the hibiscus you can feed with a general tree and shrub fertiliser. You won't be feeding the lichen, of course. The lichen is a what's called a lower class plant. It's like mosses or algae. It's down in this area of plants. And believe it or not, if you have lichen on the stems of trees, and you often see it on plants and that, especially if they're in sort of semi-shady areas, and the lichen will grow. Now, it's a great sign of no pollution in the air. So it's a good thing. But at the same time, when it's on and if it gets very thick and if you get moss and lichen growing on trees and branches, it can become a little home for insects that you'd rather not have. But if you just put a glove on you and rub your hand up and gently up and down the stem, you'll actually rub it off. It's only on the stem. It's not doing anything to the plant. It's not killing the plant in any way. So you can just rub it off, but there's no need. Again, there's no need to spray or put anything on it. Years ago, we used to put a winter wash on trees to kill mosses and lichens on trees over the winter time. It was a tar-based wash. Nowadays, you don't use any of those things anymore. But lichen itself, you can let a bit of light in. If you had a bit more air circulation around that area where the hibiscus is, you'd find there's less lichen on it because it likes moist sort of shady conditions the same way that moss does, really. So you can rub it off with your hand, John, and it's no real harm. It might be a bit unsightly, but it's no real harm.
Okay, somebody just messaged in to say cleavers plant is sticky backs.
Yeah, but the Latin name we were looking for, that's another common name. So you have sticky backs and you have cleavers. Please, somebody, because I'm not near my computer. So would somebody, because it's going to be mad all day.
I know our own Dimpna's listening, so she can Google and she'll message me. Dimpna, help!
Cleavers, the Latin name, please.
Cleavers for sticky backs. What's the Latin name?
And it's, it's half in my head, B. I think it begins with a B. It's known as burrs as well.
Right. I think we've got a couple of questions on foxglove, so let's go to them now while the topic is hot. Anne rang and has a large clump of foxgloves and would love to spread them out and give some to her sister. How would you go about doing this, and how would you go about doing the clump? It's about 6 years in the garden.
Collect the seeds. That's the best way. Collect the seeds, and then you can grow the foxgloves from seed. And that's the very best way to do it. Foxgloves are, they don't last and last. They tend to grow and then they die out, and it's the new seeds that grow then to form the new plants. So don't go trying to split them or cuttings or anything like that. That won't work. gather seeds and give her the seeds.
Okay, Cora was on and she wants to know something similar about how do I get foxglove to look great in the garden? A couple of years now, not doing the business. Any suggestions?
Yeah, do you see, they tend to have the short lifespan and really you're relying on the new ones to come on. Now, again, they do need, even though they grow in woodland, they need some light and they do need protection on that. So look at the new ones come on and it might be the following year then before they throw a decent flower, you know. So look at, just persevere with them. You can put plenty of organic matter around them and feed them like mad if you want to, and that will help. But generally speaking, they're a wild plant which will sort of thrive on their own once there's moist-ish conditions around them.
Okay. And we go to somebody who's getting terrible problems. Help, 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 help is the opening line. I am having terrible trouble with larvae eating the roots of my plants, which are all in large pots. I've treated all the plants with Bug Clear. I had the same problem last year with Photinia plants. I dumped all the soil, started again, but now I have the same problem. There are also lots of ants in the pots. Please help.
Okay, well, ants, you're going to have to treat the ants with an ant powder. And ants will do a lot of damage to roots of plants, but ants wouldn't see larvae. And by larvae, I'm presuming that caller means something about the size of your little fingernail or a little bit smaller. So if it's, okay, one problem is the ants, which you'll have to treat with an ant dust. And then they will move somewhere else. When they get a blast of that now, they will, you know, you will kill a lot of them. And if that's what you want to do, that's fine. They do a lot of damage to plants and they will move elsewhere. They tend, you see, to have their little nests down. If you have access down between maybe a little wall and a patio, or down between cracks in a patio, or behind a little low wall, or inside the rims of pots, they like these places. So those kind of places, watch where they're coming from and target their they go in particular lines, you know, when they're foraging, and target the way they're traveling, and try and find your way back to the nest and try and get your dust in there. That'll get rid of the ants. But the larvae, I'm just wondering, is it vine weevil that she has, if it's killing a lot of plants? Now, she could look up to see what a vine weevil larvae looks like. It's quite disgusting, actually. A little white yolk with a little brown head. And I'm not fond of anything that doesn't have at least two legs on it. But these little larvae, they will eat the bark around the base of plants. They'll eat all the bark off the roots as well, sort of the edge off the roots. So they will actually kill plants. But you do need to get rid of them. And sometimes, even if you change the compost in a plant, in a pot, then the larvae could be still little baby larvae in the little joins between the roots, and you'd have to nearly wash out the roots of that plant, and you can't really do that at this time of the year, you know. So to get rid of all the larvae, look out for a sort of a greyish square-nosed beetle. That's the weevil. Weevil, not a baby.
Okay,
that's the adult.
Right, she's just after re-messaging back in saying it's the little white things.
Yeah, well, ants are little white things too, but they're tiny. They're about the size of a head of a pin.
Right.
Or even smaller. They're tiny little roundy eggs, and they're white, but the other larvae would be bigger.
Yeah.
You know, they'd be the size of a pea or smaller than a pea, and they're kind of oblongy shaped with a little brown head on them. And they're a white larvae, and they're the vine weevil. They're really, really dangerous, and they're really, really difficult to get rid of. There are treatments out there for them, but they're really difficult to get rid of. You're best to kind of find the weevils themselves, the adults, to try and get rid of them, and then look at, with regard to the compost, you're just going to have to, you know, maybe sacrifice a plant to them and leave them go into one plant rather than spreading all over the place, and catch the adults when you can, and maybe sort of give them a happier hunting ground up in the sky.
Okay, well done. Okay, a couple of weeks ago back, or a while ago back, I don't know how long ago back, to be honest with you, we had Josie in Kilcullen, who was on about her Acer tree that she thought was going to be kaput. She thought it had died, but it's flying now. She says, thank thanks so much for all the help. That's Josie in Kilcullen, and she sent me a picture which I'll send onto your phone in a few minutes, Yvonne, but thanks for that, appreciate it. An environmental way to treat green fly is a question from Etna.
Oh, put in a bird table and encourage birds. Ladybirds will gobble up green fly, you know, and that's probably the best way to do it. There are plenty of environmentally friendly green fly sprays out there as well nowadays. So it's not too bad. You can get stuff. Go into your garden centre and ask for one that is non-toxic to birds and you will get them. But again, encourage, if you see ladybirds, put them on your roses or wherever the green fly are. And encourage birds and ladybirds, and you will reduce your green fly population greatly. And also feed the plants. You know, a lot of people don't realise that plants need, even plants in the ground, do need continuous feeding, because they do run out of energy in the ground. And a plant that's under stress is going to get, especially when you look at roses and somebody says, those roses were great years ago, but now they're awful, I'm going to dig them out. Mm. You know, and all they need is a good mulch and a good feed, because, you know, some plants, they just get starving. And when they're under pressure, it's a bit like yourself. If you're stressed out, you'll catch every bug that's going, you know, and you'll always have a cold and you'll just feel rotten. And that's the way the plants are, and then they're susceptible to infections like black spot and green fly. So feed, number one, and then encourage ladybirds and that around the place, and that's probably the best way of dealing with them. By the way, with Josie and her maple, I'm delighted. There's a lot. I said hydrangeas were badly damaged by frost. So were maples, in particular Japanese maples. But a lot of them are now coming back. There's a lot of tip burn on them. They came into leaf. They're a very soft leaf, and they got badly damaged. And a lot of people thought they were dead. Yep. They're not dead. They're coming back.
Okay.
And a lot of people think that all the ash trees in the country have got this virus and they're dead. They're not. They're just late. Really, really, really late.
Okay,
most
so
of them.
Be patient and you'll be grand. Right. By the way, Philip and Clane was on to us, Yvonne, to say Gallium aporine is the stick back name. Does that make sense to you?
Gallium, that's it. I knew it began with an S.
Yeah. S? Well, no, G you mean.
I know. Gallium.
Aporine.
Gallium.
Okay, Gallium. You know
Thank
it is Gallium.
You.
There you go. The full name is Gallium Aporine.
Yes.
Okay, appreciate that. Really do. Thanks for messaging in. Let's have another quick look. So that's the... Now, see, Paul has a large Indian bean tree in her garden. That's Paul. Paul will go with. Has a large Indian bean tree in her garden. So it's Paula. And it has to... it has no leaves yet. And he can't remember... Okay, can't remember if it had leaves at this time last year. It's about 10 foot tall.
Okay, well, look, we're going to have patience with that now. That's a bit like the ash trees, and people looking at them and saying they're all dead. A lot of them do have the virus and a lot of them are dead. Her Indian bean tree is just late. I saw wisteria the other day without a leaf on it, and the flowers were beginning to come out, and they're just late. Very, very, a lot of... it's a result of this late frost that we had in May, and there's a lot of damage done, as I say, and some things just sat back, did nothing, and they'll come into leaf later. So have patience now with that Indian bean tree. I'd say it will come into leaf. Hopefully. Now, that's if it did come into leaf. If it didn't come into leaf last year, you're in big trouble. It's not going to come into leaf this year. Maybe if she could keep an eye on it over the next few weeks. Mm. I mean, she might be giving it a decent burial if it's dead for the last 2 years, but other than that, we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Okay, two quick questions for you. First of all, how do you prune fuchsias in the latter part of springtime or early summer, around now, I presume, or is it too late?
Yeah, no, it's not too late. And I presume they're thinking about the hardy fuchsias that are out in the garden, and it's something like the wild fuchsia that grows down the west of Ireland, the Fuchsia magellanica. You have the red one and you have the pink one, and these are grand hardy fuchsias. Now, they did get a good belt of late frost, and you'll see loads and loads of dead shoots on them now, and if you look well into the bush, you'll see all the new shoots beginning to grow further down in the bush. You can now cut back to those shoots and let them fly on. They'll be grand.
Mm, okay, and final question from Shauna, age 11. Hello, Shauna, age 11. She wants to put some nice flowers or bedding plants or some stuff on her granny's grave in Athy. She's helping her mammy out, hopefully this weekend and next weekend. Can you help me with some suggestions?
Yeah, we could think about nice things that the bees would like and the birds would like. If you know, something like lavender, and catmint, the nepeta. These things will flower all summer, and they will encourage the bees in. And so I'd say her granny would be delighted with something like that. Mm. So that'd be a nice thing to put on the grave. So let's say nepeta and lavender. And maybe if her granny liked roses, she could put a carpet rose or something like that in a big pot on it too. So you'd have a nice mix of purple and pink, and you'll have things that will flower all summer long and bring the bees in.
Okay, and on that note, perfect way to finish. Thanks as always, loads of contributions. And if there's a few left over, we'll get to them early next week. Yvonne, thanks and have a great bank holiday weekend.
Take care, John.
Cheers. And that was The Green Room.
The Green Room with Johnstown Garden Centre, home of expert garden advice. JohnstownGardenCentre.ie.